Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Nikki.
Welcome to Swipe Fat.
Where dating's hard.
But dating when you're fat is even harder. I had my date.
You did.
With my...
speed dating buddy.
I just had a brain fart and I couldn't even remember what I did to get a date.
Luckily, I do. I remember everything about you and your dating life. That's a lie. But I do remember this. You went to speed dating. You had a match. You went on a date.
Correct. We went on a date last week. And it was fine and enjoyable. I will say, I think the big takeaway I took from this is to just, I need to trust my gut more. And that's from a perspective of like, trusting your gut when you think someone likes you, because I'm bad at that.
Yeah.
And trusting it when you think someone not even doesn't like you, but just like that there's no match there. Like, trust yourself more, because I think my dating history has definitely been a lot of not trusting my gut and thinking people don't like me, or forcing it with people that I don't like because I'm not trusting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy and I were texting and it was just very bland. And I was like, this is the opposite of how this person was when I met them at the speed dating event. Yeah. We had good banter. Like,
he was so funny.
He was hilarious. And I was like, I don't understand. This feels like a completely different person. And my friend, I think even you were like, well, they're just dry. And
I was like, maybe he's a bad texter.
Yeah. I think, yeah, they're like, he's like a dad texter. He's just bad at it. And it wasn't just you, it was other people too. And I was like, okay. But like, my gut was saying like,
no.
But I went on the date anyway. And he was not mean or rude or like, honestly, the opposite. Like, if you could pick like a perfect scenario of how I would want to be treated in a situation where like someone didn't feel a spark with me, this is how I would like want to be treated. And that like, they were still super kind. We had a very nice conversation. He bought my drinks for me because technically he asked me out and picked the place. And he texted me the next day being like, hey, like, I had a good time. I just don't feel a connection. And, you know, I want to be upfront about that. And I was like, me too. A-okay.
Thanks for letting me know. Cool.
Right. And it was like the perfect, hopefully the way that you would like that to go.
Yeah. You respectable.
Know? Very respectable. But I like knew the minute I like sat down that it was like a no. And not just for him, you know, like it was a no for me too. Yeah. And I think the most positive thing that came out of this was that I am like fully, like, I'm not going to second guess my gut anymore.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's good. You went to a cute place, had a cute drink, and you learned to trust your gut.
Yeah. Because part of me was like, I shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You told me that.
Yeah. Because I was like, it just doesn't feel
right.
Right. Yeah. Something feels off. And I was right. It felt like this is the only thing that I thought was like a little weird and like maybe not super respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the middle of it, we started talking about like our experience and if like we had a good time or whatever. And he's like, I think I'll do a few more of them. And I was like, we're literally on a date right now, bro. Like, why are you fucking talking about going on more? And like, I knew. Again, we all knew.
Like,
but also we didn't need to. Did we need to say that part out loud? Because he was talking about how he's gonna get back on dating apps too, and I was like,
oh,
hey,
okay, I'm just a frontier.
Yeah,
clearly not a viable option.
Not a viable option, but that's, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was mutual. You were just.
Definitely, because he was like, I could have a third drink, you know, but I can only stay for like a half hour because I have to let my dog out. And I was like, I'm good, let's go. Call
I'm
it.
I'm not looking for a friend.
Yeah, calling it right now. The espresso martinis aren't that good.
No.
Anyway,
So you were not trying to have babies with him.
No. I didn't even want to kiss him.
That's how you really know.
I know. And I've definitely gone on like second or third dates with people that I don't want to kiss.
I think you've grown.
Yeah. But you know, just trust your gut. Trust your gut.
We should name this episode Trust Your Gut.
Okay.
Make t-shirts. Trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
Mine's, you're singing. We gotta go.
Mine's a bigger one, so I should trust even more. Extra trust in there.
Oh my God, this is not what Caitlin deserves. That's her intro. But this Sorry. Is what she's gonna get. And you know, I think, you know, she actually might like it. She might think it's funny.
Good. Yeah, I hope so. She's hilarious.
If she doesn't think it's funny, her husband Jackson will think it's
funny. Yeah, I want Jackson on the podcast next. Yeah.
Next. We should pencil him in. Mm-hmm. See if he's available. Reach out to his agent.
Yeah, I'll call his agent. Probably Caitlin. yeah, well, today we have a guest on the podcast. It is Caitlin Cunningham from Keeping It Caitlin. We have Caitlin on today to talk through her dating journey, but also to talk about her experience with infertility and IVF and PCOS. Mm-hmm. I think things that will resonate with a lot of listeners. So we're excited to have her on.
I feel like her story is very relatable, like just dealing with doctors and being plus size, PCOS, like all the things, like, and having to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you guys are going to enjoy it.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
We're so excited to have you on today.
I'm excited. I'm ready.
I feel like we've had like an internet relationship for so long.
I know. We really have.
Actually, funny story. I don't even know if Alex knows this. So you and I met because of an Abercrombie like share week thingy.
Uh-huh.
Like that's how we like started. She, you don't remember, and it's okay. It was my first share week ever, so it was pretty memorable to me. That's when I was dating, like I was having my 1 week sexcapade with Puppet Man. And at the puppet show beforehand, I was having to post these stories, and I was posting them at the car, and they got fucked up, and then I had to delete them all, and I was sitting in the auditorium before going in, and he's like, we don't have to go to this. He was like all freaking out. I was like, it's fine, give me like 5 minutes and then we're good. And then I went and watched a puppet show.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is actually extremely memorable.
Yeah, that was a pretty memorable
yeah.
experience.
I was probably sitting at home on my couch, not at a puppet show.
Not at a puppet show.
Not having a 1 week sext like thing, and then never talking to, well, never seeing him again.
No.
You haven't ringing a bell. You haven't had that kind of experience, have you? Right? Because you got college. Like married in college. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In my head, you got married like right out of high school, which I know is not
like
the case.
I was like 12.
Yeah.
No. I'm from Texas. I'm not from like Utah or anything like that. So it's like a little bit better, but not much. But yeah.
So how did you meet your husband?
I met Jackson in college, actually. Okay. So, we met junior year of college. So I actually went, I've always had a boyfriend. I'm like that girl. I went into college with a boyfriend and then we broke up, sophomore year, like the very beginning of sophomore year. And I lived my life all the way up until, I met Jackson. So I've lived.
So 1 year of living.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. That's really all you need. No, you only need 1 year of Warren, okay?
Yeah, it took me out for a little bit. I definitely like made up for lost time. I got in a lot of trouble in college. I lived, so you know.
I want to know the trouble.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear more about the. Okay, so you always had a boyfriend. Like, when did you start like dating?
I would say I had my first boyfriend when I was like 14,
Oh, okay.
13 or 14. But I was always in this, I don't know, like everyone's ex life story experience. I was always stick skinny.
Okay.
Oh.
So I actually like I have a different experience than a lot of people where everyone's like I made a joke about this the other day on TikTok where I was like, I don't have like the adverse reaction when I talk about Torrid of like only being able to shop at Torrid. Like I didn't experience that. My
Yeah.
dad did only make me shop at JCPenney's because he had a like credit card there, and I remember being like, please let my skinny self go to Abercrombie. But yeah, I wasn't plus size until later in life. I would say like the past like 7 years. And so it has been different. Like I've never had really anything, not that being plus size holds you back, but just, you know, like any really adversity actually.
Like from society, you mean societal
Yeah,
like
in that
pressures?
way. Yeah, and sometimes I made up for lost time in that 1 year, and I feel like I've made up adversity wise of putting myself on the internet as I was like gaining weight. It's de yeah, definitely hasn't always been rainbows and sunshine in that case, but I did like, and I think it is a little bit unique. Because I feel like a lot of plus size people I've met have always been plus size, and that just for me, like it wasn't the case. I actually was like so skinny, and I always say like my fat bubble burst, and then I just started gaining weight. But yeah, I just always want to mention that.
Yeah, I was straight size too growing up. And I gained most of my weight like after college. So same sort of experience. However, I was always like mid size, and I don't, you know, like it's like a weird in between. Like I was always like a 10 or a 12, so I thought I was plus size and I wasn't. So I think it's like it's, you know, interesting to have like, because we didn't have like what the resources that people do now. So like we didn't have TikTok, we didn't have Instagram, so I only had like the experiences that I had, which was like it was kind of hard to find clothes as a size 12. And you know, like I did have to not, sometimes I couldn't shop, sometimes I could, but so I still had thin privilege, but it's like I don't know,
Yeah, it
it's this
was
weird
different.
in between. That's why I like feel it for, you know, the size 12. So it's way different now though, because I feel like you have more options. Anyway, not the point. Okay, so you were dating in high school and in college, and then you met Jackson, and it was just like, boing, we love each other.
Long story short, yes, but also no. So I was didn't want a boyfriend. Jackson will tell you that the first time he saw me, he told his best friend that I was going to be his wife. It's like kind of one of those like cheesy things, but he also had a girlfriend at the time. And actually the night that I met Jackson, I have a picture with his girlfriend and she's like wearing his jacket. And like, it's kind of funny now. Like, I don't know. It's kind of awkward, but, but he started like, he literally broke up with her and like started pursuing me. And I was just like, I didn't want a boyfriend or anything like that. And he is like, knowing him now, he's really like the nicest angel ever. And he was like, that's totally fine. Like, I will be here whenever like you are ready. And he's like such a gentleman. And he literally, and we're in college and, you know, he's still doing like wild and crazy stuff. And I'm doing my own thing too. But like, he was my friend first. And that was like the first relationship I had had where someone was my friend first. And he was like, he did not pressure me. And he was just my friend Jackson for for like a year. And then whenever we first started dating, I broke up with him because I just like a week after dating and like blindsided him, and we were still in college, and so, like, I don't know, it was just kind of dumb, but I just was scared, I guess, and then I took him, or I wanted him back, and then about a week after, like, dating again, I was like, you have to marry me. And he was like, no, I'm definitely gonna marry you. And I was like, okay, cool. So we got engaged after dating for 4 months.
Whoa,
And my parents,
wow.
Yeah, my parents were like, pump the brakes, pump them
quickly. Were they?
Yeah. My dad was like, so Jack's, and I'm a very persistent person too. Mm-hmm. So like, I was just like, no, we're like getting married. Like, I don't want to. And I had really never, I don't know why I said all that. Cause like, honestly, like, you're letting your crazy show fully when you're like sitting there, you're like 20 years old and you're like, you're going to marry me and you're going to love it. But he's just as crazy. And, he was on board with it. So, and whenever he asked for my dad's permission, my dad was like, yeah, like, I guess you can marry her, but like, you guys don't have to get married right now. Like, you can wait like 5 years. And Jackson's like, I don't think Caitlin's gonna really go for that. So we got married like a year and a half later.
Okay.
Fresh out of college.
Okay.
Right out of
college. You were engaged in college then.
I was. Mm-hmm.
The Southern way?
Yeah, the Southern.
No, it is. Yeah. Like, it wasn't looking like it was going to be like that. Like, for me, everyone was like, no way Caitlin is even going to find someone to, like, wrangle her in. And then all of a sudden, I just pulled it together and I went, like, old school. Like, my name could be, like, Mary Claire or something. Like, I just, I went, like, full Southern. So
that's amazing. I mean, yeah. It even happens in when I went to school out east, so everyone got married when they were like 27, even though they were all dating in college. But my friend went to school in Ohio, and I remember she had so many weddings the year after we graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, what is happening over there? Why are you in so many weddings?
What's in the water?
I know. No, I was like, literally. My friends aren't even like living together. Like, this is slow, slow.
Yeah.
Small
no,
city stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely more, I feel like more prevalent in the South. And then we are the first ones to get married and by far the last one to have kids. I know. There's a couple that we went to college with. They have like 4 kids now.
Wow.
And they got married right before us. So, I mean, yeah.
So right away.
Yeah.
How,
and that's pretty much how
everyone
old
are
is.
You? How old are you now? I don't even know.
I'm 20. I just turned 29.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have been married for a while then?
Married for 8 years.
For almost 7 years.
Seven, okay.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
7 year itch. You're passing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm itching. You just can't see it. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. He's probably like so tired of me. So
So Jackson's plus size 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's a big boy.
Has he always been?
He always has been. He is just, I feel like I'm like so proud of him. Like, I'm just like, I could show you all baby pictures. Like, this kid looks exactly the same. And the boy is like a rectangle. Like, he is just like always been thick. And actually, like, he was the first plus size person that I was like ever talked to. And if we're going to be like really open, that's why I broke up with him in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, you are like big and mm-hmm. I'm not. And I don't know like what I'm doing, basically.
Have you ever told him that's why you broke up with them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you're a loser because like,
yeah,
it's like, it's so vain. It's so, and it's not who like I really am now. And it's kind of like,
well, I mean, also
you're
you
20.
What? Yeah. 19.
I know. Well, it's messed up. It's terrible. Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, you are a bitch. Like, you are
Right.
actually just a wretched human. But, like, and I don't, like, actually tell really anyone this, so I'm a little confused why I'm choosing to share it now. But, but I think, like, yeah, I was so young. I was in college, and I didn't know, like, and also, like, he was just, like, such a boy. Like, he didn't do his hair. Like, we've come a long way. He was a really good dresser, and he still is. And I love, like, his style, and he was, like, always wearing Brooks Brothers and, like, just doing his little, like, Southern boy thing. But, like, he never did his hair. Like, he didn't take care of his skin. And I was just, like, you know, like, I love your personality, but... You know, you're
but
just
you
a
came
boy,
around,
so
but you came around to it. So obviously, like, there
yeah.
was,
No,
loved him.
no,
For
I
him.
yeah. I like literally couldn't survive without him now. And I have a lot, and I've just grown up, and I have a lot more empathy and like understanding for different people. And I think like him having thick thighs is like the cutest thing ever. So I'm never like I've come around to it, yeah, like y'all said.
Yeah, I want to beat yourself up about that because, like, society tells you it's wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
I was fatphobic towards myself. Like,
Yeah.
we all are, right? Like,
Oh, yeah. 100%. I guess it's just, like, it's mean. At the
yeah.
core, like, it's mean. So,
Yeah.
and I never, like, I'll be saucy all day, but I never, like, want to hurt someone's feelings and, like, I definitely hurt his feelings. I remember telling, I was like, I don't know, like, if you're gonna live a long life. Like, I don't know, like, you know, like, I don't know if, like, you're gonna take care of yourself. And so, like, and just
Yeah,
that, and
like
being,
all
like,
these
young.
things that like society literally like
Yeah. And
puts in
now
our
I'm like,
brains.
yeah. And then now I'm fast forward, and like, I'm on the receiving end of that from other, you know, in
Right.
other ways. And so it's like, I just didn't know, and I didn't have the life experience to know any different. So,
And the tools. I mean, again, this is like, seven years ago. I don't like that's kind of like when all of the body positive, like in a larger way, was starting to like get bigger, right?
Yeah.
On a
Much
mainstream way.
streams,
I mean, you know,
mainstream scale,
because I know like fat liberation has always been a huge thing, but I think like on a larger scale, because Instagram was like really gearing up. That things were changing a lot more. I mean, I would say that like 7 years ago is probably when I started to like have my own self love journey.
Yeah.
That kind of makes
Yeah.
sense. Yeah. Cause I was like 30, 31. Crazy.
Yeah. It
I'm over
is.
Here trying to do math. But yeah, I wasn't far behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. Thanks for validating me. So I'm like, oh my
well,
god,
I mean,
I
think
it'd be different if you were still here being like, well, he's a fat piece of shit and he's lazy and he's this and I've never, you know, like,
yeah,
you were 19, 20, you changed. People can change.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't lie and say that I, like, when I was that age, that I didn't have similar thoughts about, you know, people and myself included in that.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, you're gross and whatever. I remember there was this like guy who was plus size who had a crush on me when I was in college, and I was didn't like not it wasn't because of his like weight in the end that like I didn't love him, but it was his personality. but like I remember having those thoughts at some point, but you know, being like, so I've been there. But I think, like, for me, I wasn't. It was the personality.
I mean, hell,
Yeah,
I hated myself so much that I got gastric sleeve surgery and thought that would fix my life. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, when I was 24.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, actually, like, it's been a different journey for me because, like, getting married so young and then gaining a lot of weight just because of one, you gain weight because you're like so happy and you don't give a shit and you're just like, you know, in love. And but then also like my PCOS caught up to me, and I literally say, like, I remember like the month period where I'm like, I am gaining so much weight, like this is crazy. And no one in my family is plus size, and I didn't really understand. And like, obviously Jackson grew up being a big boy, and so like he was just like, you know, this is how it works, like, you know, like, yeah, this is real. And
welcome to the
so,
club.
No, literally. And so I think like I've had to go on a journey of like accepting and loving myself after finding someone. And like, I'm really lucky that I found someone that still loves me like the same way. Cause I was thinking about it today. I was like, before I came on, like how, you know, some people are like still vain, and like they don't love someone the same after they've changed, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think I'm just lucky that, and I think Jackson, just like who he is, like, he will love me no matter what, but you don't always get that. So
yeah, no, that's really true. I mean, that's like a whole like a comedian joke punchline for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Or like the thought process of like, you have to stay like attractive for your husband is, I mean,
yeah,
my grandma was God love her, but you know, that was like such a big thing. And anytime someone would talk about weight, it was always like, well, you have to have a man to keep loving you.
Yeah.
You have to be small.
Yeah, I've heard my like fair share of just things like, it's interesting because like my parents would never say anything about Jackson. Like, Jackson is a precious angel to them, but like they will dog on me all day long about my weight. And yeah, so it's just interesting the dynamics of that.
It is.
Yeah,
it's, yeah, like my mom doesn't dog on me, but I like, and now she's come around, but like constant diet tips.
Yeah,
or like, you know, you, or like a great aunt, you'd be so pretty if you lost blah blah blah, you know.
Yeah,
they just,
my dad paid for a trainer for me for most of college so that I could like stay fit. So
yeah,
I mean, like, they all do, I think they are all mostly coming from a place
yeah
where they just want to protect you,
or insecurity,
or their insecurities. Yeah, I mean, I know,
yeah,
like my mom had an eating disorder, and like, I'm pretty sure my dad did too, or some sort of disordered eating, you know. But yeah, there's always been problems with that. But I mean, like, if you talk to anyone, I feel like there's no one that doesn't have like an issue with food. It's
and how their family dynamic has either been like helpful or may just kind of fuel the fire.
Totally. So when did you, so you guys always knew you wanted to have kids? Because I know you guys are trying now, right?
Yeah, I'm like the girl that was the babysitter. I love kids. I love babies. I worked at the preschool, and like always, like, I'm the girl holding your baby.
Yeah.
And no matter where we are. So it was like really a no-brainer for me. And Jackson is the same way. He definitely was like, we can wait a little bit. And now you guys understand me a little more, like, foot is on the pedal at all times.
You were like, 21, let's pop them out.
No, literally, I'm like, we got married right after Jackson finished his master's. And I was like, we gotta have kids. And he was like, oh my God. I remember him being like, I'm actually not ready. And I was like, because I was like, you said you were gonna be ready like right after we got married. And and now, like, looking back, like, I've you know, just, it's just being young again, like, and having no idea. And now I'm like, thank God we didn't have kids because we didn't own a house, you know, like just things that you're just like in a way better place. I've actually lived some life and like can do things I want to do. And it's a lot different than it would have been. But yeah, we've always wanted kids.
And what's it, so you've like posted about IVF, you tried other things before. What's been the journey like for you?
So the journey has been, I'll take you back to like right after we got married, in 2017. I figured out I had PCOS because I had a cyst like burst. And
know that feeling.
Yeah, it's humbling, but you know, would I wish it on anybody?
Yeah, it sounds very painful.
Yeah, and so I was in a new city, like just like away from my parents, and I didn't really know necessarily like how to go about things, but I started going to the OB, and she was just like, "Yeah, you have PCOS," like. And I was like, yeah, I've been gaining a lot of weight and I've gained like 40 pounds. And she gave me metformin, which a lot of people, it does help them a lot. And I took it, but I wasn't really like serious about it because I just like didn't really.
What is that supposed to
know?
Is it like
It's for insulin resistance. I'm on it.
Oh, you are.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't really. If your doctor offers it to you, get extended release, people. Extended release, take it at night with food. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, I didn't know like what I was doing, and I remember just like not liking how I felt on it.
Yeah.
And so I just stopped taking it, and then I was like just doing my own research, looking into PCOS, and I was like, it says it's going to be really hard to have kids. And so my OB referred me to like a reproductive doctor in Houston, and she was like, if I was you, like I would just go straight to IVF. And I'm like 24 at this point, 23, 24.
It's also so expensive.
Yeah, no, the second I got home, Jax was like, shut it down, we're not get it out of your head, we're not doing any of that. And I was like, what?
He was we like, should have had both of you.
I know.
Oh my god, we he actually like is way funnier than me. Yeah, he was like, no, we're not doing that. You'd have gotten like a full like southern accent too. I don't know if you guys have like seen him on my stories. So people always are like, I can't believe he actually talks like that. And I'm like, it's like so normal to me, but yeah, he's really just like a good old boy.
But the good kind of good old boy.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Let's clarify that.
Yeah. Yeah, not the bad good old boy.
He's a southern gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went and she was like, I would honestly just do IVF, like skip straight to it. And I was like, okay, like give me the numbers. And you know, she's like, it's gonna be probably like $25,000. And I'm like, right. So Jackson was quickly like, absolutely not. And so we didn't go anywhere from there, basically. Because it just like, we're so young, we didn't have a lot of money. And it just like, you don't really know what to do unless you're like really fully ready to be in it, I feel like.
Yeah.
So fast forward a couple years and we live back in Dallas now, and I somehow, and this is like the weirdest like intuition thing, it was either like I felt like I never have a regular period, so it's like my mom would be like, just do an ovulation test, goober. And I'm like,
work that way.
I'm like, I don't even know, like, what, when you fill out the period thing, and it's like, when was your last period? And it's like 800 days ago. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me? And then it's, you know, then it'll be like, we cannot detect when you'll, you know, it's like, I had to figure out all these things because everyone was just, you know, like my best friend got pregnant really easily both times, and she's a couple years older than me, and she's like, take the rest of my ovulation strips. Like, you just got to test for ovulation, and then you've got to have like timed intercourse. And I'm like, it's not working. So I don't know, you know, just like trial and error things. But I had like this intuition, and the tip of my nose was really hard. This is going to sound so weird. And I can't remember if it was like I looked it up and it was like, that could be a sign you're pregnant or you're ovulating. I can't remember which one. But my t the tip of my nose is really hard. And then I got pregnant. I don't even, so I've been pregnant once before. And I had like a miscarriage a couple weeks later. And yeah, it just like I don't know. Like, I really just had an intuition that like for some reason it was gonna work, and it did. And it was like a very blissful couple of weeks. But yeah, then I had a miscarriage. So
That's so
it,
hard. I'm sorry.
yeah, thank you. It's something I like definitely just block out. I'm really good at like blocking things out and being like, oh yeah, that did happen to me. And also telling yourself like maybe it wasn't actually like a baby, you know, like maybe it was just you had a really rough period or something, or it was a false positive. But
It's a trauma response.
but it was real, and it was just at the same time of like it being really sad, I think like I at least had like a taste of what it's like, and so I know that it's possible, you know.
A little hope.
Yeah, even though, and that was like 3 years ago now, which you know, I was like, it definitely like lit a fire under me, like okay, like I've got to get pregnant like again, like I, you know, because I thought that I would be like nice and calm, but I wasn't. I was like so excited. I didn't even like tell my parents in person. I FaceTimed them, even though they lived like 45 minutes away. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, we told everyone, like, Jackson's parents sent us like parenting books, and like, you know, you just like blow the lid off of it, and you're like, oh my God, I bought a onesie like to like announce, and it's like just like little learning lessons. It's like, shut your mouth, Caitlin. Shut your mouth, because then you have to, you know, and it's the same people I would tell if I was having a miscarriage. So it's fine, but it's just like you gas yourself up just as much, you know. There's like half the fun is telling everyone and like getting them excited, and you know, but
Well, and imagining
yeah.
it, I mean, yeah, that has to be really hard.
Yeah, it's definitely just like a, you just, for me, I just like keep it moving. Like, I don't dwell on it for a long time. And you know, like Nikki said, like I have like a lot of trauma. Like, I'm like really good. I'll pull it out of the any trick in the book, and I have got it. And will do it. But yeah, you just like really block it out, and like I don't keep anything out that like reminds me of it, obviously. It's like, who wants, you know, that? But every once in a while I'll see like in the closet in the room I'm in now, like all the books are there, and like the all of the things. And so yeah, you got to keep it moving. And but it does give you hope, and like obviously it's nice to know that it's possible, I guess.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Absolutely. So have your do you feel like your doctors have been like super supportive of like the journey? Like how has that like gone? Has that been like hard to find one that like you trust and like want to work with?
Yes, 100%. I had a doctor here, that was actually the same doctor as one of my coworkers, and she got pregnant. She actually had a miscarriage and then got pregnant and had a baby. a couple months before me. And so when I got pregnant, like, she was like, you have to go to him. He's amazing. She's also so tiny and super petite. And I went to him after I had my miscarriage, and I was like, I had a miscarriage. Like, here's all of the info from, like, the ER, and, like, I want to, like, I, like, tell me what next steps, because, like, I want to get pregnant, and, like, I, you know, want to keep rolling on this momentum of, like, my body, like, realizing, like, that it can be pregnant.
Right.
And he was like, well, I would suggest you lose some weight first. No one has fertility issues in my family, so it was all, like, the worst advice ever, basically. Like, if you're looking back now, just, like, don't ever say that to anybody, basically.
Yeah.
And my aunt came over after I'd gone home from the hospital, left my parents' house, and was like, I think if you just did some more walking and did a little bit more exercise, that you could get pregnant again. And Jackson literally was like, get out.
Good.
Like, and she has 7 kids, but it's funny because she had 3 or 4 miscarriages, and she's not plus size.
Right.
Yeah.
So was it, and I could, like, go on a tangent, because I'm like, was anyone there telling you, like, what, like, what, are you too skinny? Or, you know, like, what are you doing wrong?
Right.
Like, why am I doing something wrong?
There's so much taboo stuff about miscarriage in general, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, the fact that, I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, and infertility, being plus size, like, you can't get pregnant because you're overweight. That's it. Like, and that's not it.
Right.
But yeah, so that, my doctor told me to lose weight, and I knew it was, like, wrong, but I did lose weight. He was like, just try to lose, like, 10 pounds. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just, like, what is 10 pounds going to fucking do?
Right.
There's this whole thing that if you lose 20% of your body weight, your PCOS, like, goes in remission. And, like, that's, I've been told it multiple times, but also, like, I've had friends who are straight size who have PCOS be put on metformin and different things for them, like, have do a low carb diet for them to lose 20 pounds, and that their doctor thinks they'll magically, like, be able to get pregnant then.
Yeah, it'll just,
jeez.
Yeah. So he told me, he was like, just lose, like, 10 pounds. And I knew it was, like, wrong, and, like, I was, like, annoyed, but I was just like, okay, like, I'll lose it. And I did. And then he was like, well, let's see if you can maintain that. And I was like, you're kidding me. Like, I did this. I'm like, I'm so proud of myself. I want to get, you know, like, I want help getting pregnant. I lost this weight, and I knew it was, like, wrong. Like, I shouldn't have to lose weight, but, like, I'm doing it so you'll help me.
Right.
Because, you know, like, no one wants to go through the trouble of, like, finding a new doctor, and, you know, like, and you're also like, am I going to find a new doctor just over this one thing? Like, no, I'm just going to do what he says. So you do it, and then he's like, well, try to see if you can maintain it, and if you could lose a little bit more. And I was just like, no, screw you. And so I just, like, he didn't help me, and put a terrible taste in my mouth. And so I went to a fertility, like, clinic in Dallas, and did a round of IUI, which is, like, a less invasive. Yeah. So I did a round of IUI, and it didn't work, and I knew it wasn't going to, because I think that when I do ovulate, I think I ovulate earlier than, like, it and than expected. And I could feel, like, I can feel my body. I feel like I feel like every woman is, like, pretty freaking in tune with her body. Like, you know, we know it better than anyone. And so the IUI didn't work, and we were still, like, we were doing better, like, financially, but it's still expensive. It's a couple thousand dollars. And I was just like, I'm not doing, and it was like, it was March of 21. So like the pandemic was still going on and I was just like, I'm not doing this to myself again.
Yeah.
So we just didn't do anything after that. But it's just been like, and at that time it was like, well, we're still like 26. So it's like not really, it's not a big deal, you know? And now I think, and it doesn't matter how old you are, but just I think for us and like what I always like don't feel like I'm fully happy because like I don't have a family, you know, and some people don't have that void at my age and that's fine or, you know, but for me, it's just something that like I wanted so bad that now I'm like, okay, financially, we're at the point. Jackson just turned 30 and my parents and his parents are all just kind of like waiting for us to have kids. And it's, you know, something that I'm like fully ready to put the time and effort and money
Right.
into. So that's kind of where we are now.
Okay.
So you're
Well,
working, starting IVF.
yeah. So, I say like nice and ready, but we're going to, the plan is, right now, I'm on doing some semaglutide shots to just like put my body in the best position possible. And one, they all obviously help with like insulin resistance, but also to lose weight just so that I'm at a better place. Like, I'm so scared, and this is like vain, but I'm so scared of like messing something up because of my body. And I know I'm not trying to lose 100 pounds in 2 months and like be a
Right.
whole new you, but I'm like so scared of like rushing it and then being told that like this happened to you, even if it's not true, just like the thought in my head of like you had a miscarriage because you're overweight, you know, like. And so I
Well, yeah,
think,
that's still the trauma
yeah.
from the last time. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And just like everything, every doctor's told me, like, it's crazy because the clinic that we're using for IVF, is they will do IVF or any sort of fertility like treatment on anybody. If you're, he was like, if you're 48 years old and you are like, I have one egg left, other people will turn you away.
Yeah.
And like he's like, we will give you like, I will tell you medically all the information you need to know. If that's the conclusion you come to, my purpose of like being a fertility doctor is to help you like achieve your goals. So I'm going
Amazing.
to help
Yeah.
you. And it, yeah. And it's so crazy because on the other hand, I had a consultation with a local fertility clinic. And like a couple days before, just to make sure I was making the right choice. And she told me that her anesthesiologist doesn't put anyone under for egg retrieval with it's over a certain BMI.
Yeah.
And I'm over that BMI.
Yeah, almost everybody probably is.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'm also sitting there thinking, how do people that are bigger than me like have a C-section and get an epidural?
Yep.
How does, so like, does your anesthesiologist just pick and choose, like,
Yes.
and they do? Oh,
They
yeah.
do.
So I told the clinic that I'm going with that was really like, he's so open and nice, and like he told me, he's like, just so you know, like your weight has nothing to do with your ability to get pregnant. But he was like, clinics will, they want the best success rate that they can get
Yep.
because you have to report it to the CDC. And
Yep.
like, you, I looked it up and he said that they will pick and choose who they take and who they don't. And because they don't want you messing up their success rate.
I know, isn't that wild?
It's insane because
That's
it's
as
like,
I froze my eggs and Nikki talked to them as well, but so I only went to two clinics to like do the whole egg freezing process or whatever. And my first experience wasn't great, but I didn't really go further down the line or whatever. But the second time was with this amazing place who sounds a lot like your fertility doctor, which they like never made it any, like it was about whole health. Like they never talked to me about my weight ever. And I had to be under anesthesia. My BMI is definitely like I'm at obese level. I know that. Based on.
Which BMI is like so outdated. No one uses anymore. It's so stupid.
I know.
When she said that, I literally just like rolled. I'm sure on Zoom, I was like,
It's crazy, but it should be based on your whole health. Like if they're denying you based on because you have heart issues or there's like something going on that like really something could happen to you while you're under anesthesia, that is a whole other ball game. But if you're
right, if they're like you're gonna have a heart attack, then okay, thank you there's for a looking large, out
like
for
a 95% risk rate of you something else happening to you whilst you're whatever. But plus size people have surgery all the time.
No, I'm like, so if I like if my appendix bursts, are you gonna be like, well, sorry big girl, you can't go back for surgery, like
I know,
what do you mean you're not gonna put me under for like a 15 minute minimally invasive procedure? Like when she said that, I was also just like, it's so Dallas, so Dallas of her. Like
it's crazy though, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I know so many people here who in Illinois who have gone to different clinics, and you know, a lot, and it's hard because you have to sometimes you have to pick the place where your insurance works, and they're not always the best, you know, like bedside manner type deal. And
100%
they've all been basically told that they need to lose like 50 pounds before they would like do anything to like help. And I want to be like, I wish everyone could go to the place that I went to, but like, you know.
Yeah, and I also like want to preface, like I almost feel like I should, I'm on week two of doing, I've done two shots, and I almost feel like I should be empowered to just like be who I am and not worry about anything. But I also just like have that trauma of like being so scared of like messing something up, and I honestly want to do IVF because I want to be monitored, and I want to be like, I need, like for me, I need that. And I know like people have miscarriages all the time and like make it just fine, but it's just so scary. And like the opportunity presented itself for me to do some semaglutide shots, and I'm just like, maybe like I really should. And I feel like it depends, like when I'm talking to y'all and it's like a very understanding, like open atmosphere, I feel like, well, why did you feel like you had to do that? But then in a lot of situations, it's like, well, that's probably the best choice, you know, like, you know, you should better yourself before you have kids. And you know, I'm just like processing as we're chatting, basically.
And that's fair, that's fair. It's hard because I mean, I get it. Like doing, going through the egg freezing process, I like did all the things that you're supposed to do, like prenatal vitamins and all of this stuff, because you're supposed to be like, you're supposed to eat healthier, like all these things that they like tell you to do because you're preparing yourself as like a vessel or whatever. And I think that's where all this like
pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. And I like, I don't know how you couldn't want to like you
it's so easy. And everyone, even though my situation is like, I've really seen a lot of this feedback and like fat phobic interactions through fertility, like I feel like everyone has it. It just depends on like your path and how you've seen it, like, you know, if you're dating, like it could be through that, or it's like just as personal. You know, it's in no one's situation is like more personal, but it does make it like easy to get deterred for sure. And just like not, I think that's why there's like pockets of like years in between, like we haven't been doing, you know, 10 IUI cycles and things like that, because I just feel like it's so hard to find people like in your corner that, and it, and then you like add on the fact that it's medical and like you can never get a hold of your doctor and you can never, you know, it's just so complicated.
Well, it's demoralizing. I mean, like, yeah, to be in those situations where people are just like othering and like putting you in a corner, like, okay, well, this is the reason, without even like looking at your whole history. And it, I think, would be really hard to not be there and be like, okay, yeah, right, totally. And we're supposed to trust doctors too, so I think that's a whole other thing where it's sort of like, okay, you're supposed to be the expert here, but why do I have to be the one advocating for myself when you should be the one figuring it out, because this is your profession, this is your job. But like, it feels like so much harder that I have to be the one to be like, but hey,
yeah,
like, can we do this test? Or like, I mean, I know this happens with all sorts of things, not just fat people, but like cancer patients or whatever. Like, people have to be their own advocates, but it just sucks that that's the case. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And I've seen like a nutritionist that's really focused on like helping, like a PCOS nutritionist. And I was taking like, probably like 30 supplements a day. Just like, I was like, I'm not even hungry because my stomach is full of beef, heart organs, blah, 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 like all this nasty stuff. And she tells you one thing, and then you go to, you're on TikTok and like someone with PCOS is like telling you the opposite thing. And then you go to the doctor and they're telling you this. And it's like, just trying to navigate like every single opinion, and someone's read 10 studies on this and semaglutide's gonna kill me. And, you know, like, just like everything, it's just, it's so loud, and you have to just like try to figure it out the best that you can, really. So
it's a lot.
You just have to give yourself grace.
Yeah,
it's a whole journey.
Yeah,
well, and you have to do what's best for you. You know, like, I'm not a doctor, I can't tell you what you, like you said earlier, you know your body best. You have to figure out what works for you, and people shouldn't be judging you for that either.
No. Yeah,
we have body autonomy. We can do what's best for ourselves, what we think is best for ourselves.
Yeah, easier said than done, but I
know.
100%.
No kidding.
100%. Yeah, as long as you're not going and telling people that they also have to do the same thing, I think it doesn't matter.
That's the big thing.
Yeah,
you know, you're not on TikTok screaming at people, telling them that they're wrong for not being on it, and that they're a bunch of losers, and your life's 100% better.
Damn. It's like giving like mega church pastor vibes.
that's what some, you know, some plus size influencers did. So
yeah,
you just gotta do what's best for you, and it'll all work out.
Yeah,
one way or the other.
Yeah, and advocating for yourself. And I'm sure that straight size people do the same, have to do the same thing. But I think just like in this, and I'm not even someone, like I said, that's been just doing treatment after treatment and doctor after doctor. Like, I've taken chunks of breaks in between, and I think about other plus size people and like what they've been told, and just, you know, how freaking much like misinformation and just like how put down that a lot of people probably have been. And so it's, yeah, just, you have to just fight for yourself.
Yeah, just a lot. Just exist in your damn body.
Right.
Yeah,
I think you're doing great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Well, I'm so excited that we had you on the show.
I know. Thanks for listening to me rant, and hopefully I answered a lot of questions. And
I think this will help a lot of people who are trying to go through the same thing and like navigate this whole thing too, and understanding like
helping that, like they're not alone.
Yeah. And yeah. It's okay to like not know what's going on too.
Yeah.
And still being able to figure it out, you know. You don't have to have all the answers.
Yeah. Very true.
Well, tell everyone where they can find you if they want to follow you.
Okay. If you want to follow me, I always get like so like shy. I'm like, me? You can find me at Keeping It Caitlin on like all socials. That's where I will like keep everyone updated. And I actually have a highlight called Baby C, because my last name was Cunningham. And I should like call it something else. That's kind of cheesy, but
it's cute.
I've like documented really everything, like from when I was pregnant, like all the way up until now. So people want to like go back and watch it and like see the journey, they can. But the plan right now is to start IVF in either like January or February. So there should be like a lot of updates coming soon. So we'll see.
Perfect.
Can't wait to follow along.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, at the end of every episode, we say bye together. Do you want to say bye with us?
Yeah. Do we just say it like on three?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
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 Follow along with us on Instagram and TikTok at SwipeThat.
And if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, join that too.
Just search Swipe Bat Podcast.
And if you love us, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review.